Hi there, welcome to Sound Healing Radio. Today, our guest is supposed to be Jeffrey Thompson, but we can't get through to him right now. So, our intention is to hold frequency in the midst of frustration. So, it's a perfect example. Okay. That all of us, no matter what's going on, that we can still be loving, compassionate, and still. Okay? That's our intention. That's the frequency for today's show. So we've got a few things I want to share before we get underway. We've got our next semester is starting actually September 11th, when we are having the conference here in Oakland or across the bay here from San Francisco. The people that are doing the semester get into the conference free. So if you're doing the certificate or associate degree, the conference is the beginning of the semester. And then after the conference, we'll continue on October 5th here in San Francisco. And of course, that's the certificate and associate degree in sound healing, where we go through everything you could ever imagine about how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We have about 15 different instructors. Actually, if you count the degree program, we got about 25 different instructors that actually teach. So you get a wide perspective, and it's really effective. I mean, I can't tell you how effective it is. People are completely transformed. And it's so funny because, you know, it's hard to get it when I say that, but it's so amazing. At the end of each semester, people say, oh my God, I came in and now I'm a different person. It's true. People are just completely transformed. Because, you know, it's really such powerful work to really not only heal yourself, but to raise consciousness as well and get you to a higher level of energy so that you're not running as much fear, anxiety, or upset. So that starts September 11th. We have the same class online that actually starts August 18th. And we've got most of the same instructors, and they it actually works really well online. We do chanting and toning and mantras and voice healing on each other. And we talk about, I mean, when we talk about using other instruments. I mean, people get to practice on you can practice on your friends and family. But it actually works really well. We find your soul note in the class. We teach you how to find other people's soul notes. We do voice analysis on everybody. We go through all the chants and mantras and the full range of all the classes we have here. And so, again, that starts August 18th, and it's Tuesday and Thursday nights, 6 to 8 p.m. San Francisco time, and then Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. San Francisco time. And so if you're interested in those classes, you can call me at 415-777-2486, or you can email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com, and you can find information about the classes at soundhealingcenter.com. We also have the audio recording classes starting October 5th as well, where we teach different programs. Mostly we teach Pro Tools, but we can also, if you're interested in Ableton Live or any of the other programs, Logic, you know, the way we teach it is really about how to use any program to do audio recording and mixing. So that program is starting October 5th here at the Institute. Also, we've got it starting around August 18th online as well, and it works really well. So you learn how to record, mix, and be a producer, And as you might know, my book, The Art of Mixing, is the number one selling book in the field of audio. It's in all the colleges around the world, and it uses visuals of sounds to explain different structures of mixes. Also, we've got the my book, The Art of Producing, which is the main book on how to do producing as well. Not to mention my sound healing book, which is the complete guide to sound healing, the main book in the field on sound healing that explains how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We've got that book as a physical book, an online book, which is just a PDF, and then we got an interactive PDF where there's live links to sounds and music to demonstrate the everything throughout the book. And you can find that at the complete guide to sound, just complete guide to soundhealing.com, complete guide to soundhealing.com. We also have our store happening here. We've got a full range of sound healing instruments and a full range of technologies as well. And we've got glasses that brain machines that have the flashing lights on the glasses. We've got goodness gracious, we've got the Theta Cube iCube here, which is a quantum device that has three Tesla-like coils wrapped around 9 inert noble gases that actually puts out scalar waves for 30 miles. And it is modulated with love and the Schumann resonance. And so it creates a whole field of coherence that is really quite profound. I've had people that can't be in the city in San Francisco, but they can be in the room here with it, that device. We also have a second unit called the Oneness, which is like multiple Tesla-like coils wrapped around inert noble gases, and it puts out the energy of oneness and the two together. I mean, oh my God, it's so easy to go into the zone here because of it. Those are expensive units, so $4,500 and $6,000. But the responses of people are just amazing. Also, those will be at our sound healing conference as well. So we also have our treatment center where we do a wide range of treatments. We can find your soul note where you're at peace so you always know where home is. We can also do a voice analysis to find out what frequencies are missing in your system to get the balance again. So you would actually tone or listen to a CD in the key of what you're missing, and then that will create the balance that creates the health. It's kind of like having a vitamin deficiency. You just take a frequency vitamin of what you're missing. And then we also have a manual that does voice healing. God, there's so much going on. I assume we still don't have Jeffrey here, but so I'll just kind of keep talking and tell you about some of the things that are happening here that are just really exciting. First of all, the whole goal here is really to bring sound healing into the mainstream. It's really to make it so that we can heal each other and heal ourselves again and take our power back from those, from the medical system that really doesn't understand how the body works hardly at all. There's still good parts to it. You know, we wouldn't want to get rid of it completely, but, you know, it's just amazing how, you know, they don't take into any account the emotional body. They don't take into account the mental body, and it's all tied together, and it's much less the spiritual body or the soul. And the problem is, of course, you can't prove the spiritual body or the soul. You can't prove spirit. You know, although it seems like if you were just to look at the body itself, I mean, goodness gracious, 70 trillion cells that just happen to work perfectly together in, you know, all these different systems. I mean, oh my God, that's like unbelievable. And I think seems like that would be proof of God right there, right? is that whole system. So the whole deal is to get back to us being able to heal each other, you know, and heal ourselves, because we've got the power, and it's been really just put out there that we don't have the power anymore to do it. And we do have the power. So that's our main goal. And there's many ways you can do this to get it, you know, to get it back into the mainstream. One is research. So we've set up the Sound Healing Research Foundation. If you go to geneom.com, GeneOM.com, we set up the whole nonprofit, which we just had our board meetings now, and finally we're completely set up now as a nonprofit. And the idea is to do tons of research, and we're getting funding to be able to do this now. And we want to first research every frequency in the body, every single frequency in the body, because once we get it all mapped out, then we have the template of perfection for each person. And that could even be decided assessed after a baby is born, as long as we can figure out a way to do it without intruding into their system. And then we'll have that template. Although, you know, a lot of the frequencies are going to be different from person to person. So what we're looking for also is the actual musical intervals between parts of the body, which are, I think, going to be more stable. So the relationship between the heart and the liver, I believe, will be a stable frequency compared to the frequencies of individual parts of the body, which could be different from person to person. I think the 210 types of cells in the body will have a very specific musical relationship, because that's the one thing we know for sure about the body frequency-wise. It's in complete harmony. If it weren't in complete harmony, we'd be dead. If it were chaos, we'd be dead. That's the main thing we know. So we know just to look for where the harmony is. And harmony in music and frequencies is certain musical intervals and chord structures. And most importantly, harmony, when it comes to frequency, is a flow of energy. You can think of it as the quality of the flow of the music. Well, what we're talking about here is the quality of the flow of the music in the body. If you don't have good quality flow in the body, well, in the nervous system, you'll be shaky. In the circulatory system, you could have a heart attack. In the digestive system, if you don't have good flow, you can be constipated, and there's all types of things happen. In fact, that's probably the biggest problem we have in our society, is digestive problems causing other problems. If there's no flow in any system, you could be dead, you know. It's all about smooth flow, especially through the meridians as well. So that's the one aspect this research is to really find all the frequencies within the body. But there's other things that are coming up as well, and especially research around kids. In the last 2 months, it's bizarre. I've gotten 5 calls from people that are doing major work with kids and wanting to incorporate sound healing into elementary and high schools. First of all, I met this woman at the New Living Expo, where we had a booth. She came in and accidentally came into the building. She was going to a antique fair next to the building where the New Living Expo is. She accidentally came in to the building, accidentally bought a ticket in the wrong building, and accidentally showed up at our booth. And she owns 2 Montessori schools. And she flipped out. She like totally fell in love with sound healing. And we've been meeting. I've gone to the schools. And she wants to incorporate sound healing into the Montessori schools. And so she's got a foundation that's helping fund the whole thing, where we'll come up with all this curriculum of sound, the structure of sound, structure of music, and sacred geometry at level 0 to 6 in the school of kids that age, and 6 to 12 and 12 to 18. And she even wants us to write a book for parents. So then she says she'll take it into the Montessori schools around the world, to the conference, Montessori conference. And she said that she can get it, and people will take it on, and it will be throughout the nation. That's the first one. The second one, this woman calls and says she has a nonprofit, and she's now taught 450 instructors in high schools on how to do sound, not just sound healing, how to do actual mindfulness. And she's actually gotten into schools and taught over 6,000 students. And there's a school in Oakland that was a very very dangerous school, actually. And she said that it's completely transformed the whole school. They got them doing toning, chanting, and mantras. And she's like off and running and wants to collaborate with us to get it into schools everywhere. And she's also working in New York City as well. And then this guy calls from actually from India. And he wants to incorporate everything we're doing into his kids' school. And they're already using brainwave entrainment to activate the midbrain. And we've got a system now where we can actually do an assessment and find the note that you need in beta to get rid of ADD or to help you focus better. ADD or ADHD. So they got that system. They got the system for actually finding your soul note where you're at peace. They bought all our CDs. They bought a whole thing that we're doing on depression now. Oh, Lord, there's so much going on. And I'll tell you about the depression in a minute when I tell you about the PTSD place that we're working with. So that's happening for children as well. And it's funny because he said that music therapy and all this sound stuff in schools is totally new in India, which is really interesting because, of course, there's all the chanting and mantras in Sanskrit, but to actually use music therapy and brainwave entrainment in India is like unheard of. Nobody has heard of it, which is totally a trip, huh? So he just, I'm like, just bought every single thing we've got and is taking the certificate program to really be able to incorporate everything into this established school for kids in Mumbai. And then this woman comes by and gets a treatment here about 3 months ago, and she was having a hard time with a lot of stuff. And then she came back about 2 weeks ago, and she said, everything has changed. Everything's going well. She's now the manager of a company that is doing alternative treatments or any type of treatment for high school students that are having problems in the Oakland area, for the whole county of Oakland. And she said that their company, which she is now the manager of, is funded by the state of California, and they create treatments for ADD, ADHD, and research different treatments also for autism and for anything that high school students need, whether it's cerebral palsy, any students that are having challenging situations or issues. And so they are expanding now through the whole of California. So they're going to become the main company for creating treatments and for all of the high schools in California. And she totally, I mean, off the deep end, wants to incorporate sound healing in these treatments, which is so unbelievable. So she wants to now start bringing the autistic kids and testing them on our sound tables and such. So, oh my God. So all of this, all of this research that we're doing for ADD, within the Research Foundation, we're going to have a whole wing of the building is going to be research for ADD and ADHD. And as I mentioned, for ADD and ADHD, the main thing, there are various things that cause ADD or ADHD or various things going on, I should say. But one of the main ones is that whoever's got it their brain can't move fast enough. It doesn't vibrate fast enough to get into beta. Beta is the rate that your brain goes to when you're thinking. And so that's why they give them Ritalin, which is speed, is to speed up the brain so it can think, right? But with brainwave entrainment, simply playing binaural beats in beta, you can get the brain sped up with no side effects. And we've done the treatment. The thing is that different people are different notes in beta. So you have to do a little assessment to find that frequency of beta for that person. And it's once you find it, they can focus. I had this one woman who came in, and I've got all 12 notes in beta, right? And so I played the first one. I said, how well can you focus and when you read this? And she goes, on a scale of 1 to 10, 0. This was an extreme case, right? And I'm like, 0? And she says, I can never focus or read anything ever. I'm like, oh my God, that must be horrible. And then when we got to her note, which happened to be B, she started crying when she started reading. She said, oh my God, I can read again. I can focus. So we made a CD in her key, and she's basically cured. She no longer has that issue. It's unbelievable. It's one of the most powerful things in the field. So we're going to be researching that for all the different types of ADD and ADHD in our research foundation. Besides that, we're also going to be researching autism. I have one of our instructors, Judy Cole, who actually has frequencies for autism, and Jeffrey Thompson, who is supposed to be here today, actually has frequencies for autism as well, and binaural beats. So And we've got a whole virtual reality system I'll tell you about in a bit that we're about to get funded for. That a psychic told me that it would cure autism as well. So we're going to have a whole research foundation or wing on studying the use of sound to help with autism. Whew, boy. But then there's the whole area of PTSD. About 2 months ago, this guy came in and said that he's getting funded by a general and by the VA, Veterans Administration, in Sacramento to set up two different centers that use alternative treatments for PTSD. Everything from sound to lasers to like anything you could imagine, like mindfulness. And so he came down and we met, and he totally wants to use everything we have. So it just so happens what I've been doing over the last 5 years is in the second and third semester here at the Institute, one of the assignments on different days is for students to come up with sound treatments for, well, we did different days for depression, for anxiety, for anger, for ADD, and for PTSD, which is really a combination of anxiety, anger, and depression, you know. So over the years, we've gotten, every semester we have students come up with these treatments. We've gotten like the best. I mean, we've got some really cool ideas, and we've collated them all and have now a whole treatment plan for each one, which is really unbelievably effective. And we've had some amazing results already. Now, in the treatment plans, the student would have to actually come up with intake questions and then design a treatment plan and then actually come up with homework or, you know, a protocol for them to do when they leave on their own. And so the one that we have for depression is probably the most developed and most effective right now. We've got we've actually got a CD called Antidepressant, and we've got another CD that's called Low Mood, which is being used in Massachusetts General Hospital. And that is really, that one is actually the most effective of all. It's amazing. We've had two people that were completely transformed from depression by this low mood song. It's got frequencies and alpha in it as well. And so we've also got Sima therapy frequencies, which are actually the frequencies from Peter Guy Manners from Germany, from back in the war days. And these frequencies are really effective for depression also, very specifically for different types of depression. But what's cool is we came up with a whole, tapping script, okay, for depression as well. And so that you can actually listen to the frequencies, the psychotherapy frequencies on depression, and then do the tapping script while at the same time. And then also, ultimately, you'll be able to have in our virtual reality system frequencies that are doing the tapping on the acupuncture points. Then you can have, and they say that that's way more effective than actually tapping yourself. So those are some of the things we're doing, and I'll have to tell you about the virtual reality system later. We just found a venture capital company that looks like they're going to fund our whole virtual reality system where you can put sounds and visuals inside the body now. So looks like we have Dr. Jeff here now. Are you there, Dr. Jeff?
Oh, I'm here.
Great. I'm so glad you made it.
Yeah, good to talk to you again.
Cool. Great. I'm a little frazzled because I was trying to wing it for the last half hour here. So our intention today is to hold frequency in the midst of frustration. That's what we're doing today. So how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm down here in San Diego, and I'm at a different phone number. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, Betty Jane gave us that phone number yesterday, and we called it, and there was no answer.
I'm here now.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. So, you're a little distorted, actually, but I can still hear you, so that's okay.
Right.
Let me just tell you that Dr. Jeffrey Thompson here is probably one of the main researchers in the field, and probably has the best reputation for credibility in the field as well. He's been doing research, you know, since the Ice Age. I mean, it's really
right.
I mean, and done some amazing work. I can give you my impression of Dr. Jeff is that he, and then you can refine it as we go here. He has come up with this whole system of finding what you call the central processor frequency. And he uses a heart monitor, which is probably more advanced now, to actually find the balance between sympathetic and parasympathetic. So he plays different notes and then even detailed down to the frequency to actually find that central frequency, which I actually, in here we kind of, it's a similar thing we do where we find a soul note. So I think of that as the same note, but I want to talk about the difference here. And of all the different treatments that he's come up with and technologies, it seems like that's the number one thing that you use to really to help people. Is that correct?
Yes. Most of my work over the in the last 16 years has been using this heart rate variability system. It's a special kind of real-time heart rate variability with certain special readouts. So the significant thing is you need to be able to see how the sympathetic and parasympathetic are functioning, and you want to see it real time, because the nervous system should do something very specific that's different when you lay down than when you're standing up. So it's got to do with gravity stress. You know, when you're standing up, gravity pulls the blood out of your brain and puts it to your feet. It drops down to your feet. So there's little nerve sensors in your arteries in your neck that signal the sympathetic to turn on a little bit, kick your adrenal glands and raise your blood pressure just enough to keep the blood in your head. It's called gravity stress. But when you lay down, you don't need that anymore because all the blood is being pumped on a horizontal plane. So the blood pressure can go to its lowest, respiration go to its lowest, and sympathetic tone should be able to go down and balance itself with parasympathetic in a state called homeostasis. And actually, that's a clinical test for your current state of physical fitness. And so let's say that if somebody comes in and we hook you up and we lay you down on your back, and you know, all this should happen in 3 minutes. You should push the clutch in 3 minutes and reach homeostasis. And let's say that when you're laying there after 5 minutes and after 10 minutes and the sympathetic is still strongly on and it's not moving, then there's something wrong. And what's wrong is you're running a fight-or-flight response all the time. It doesn't stop. It's like racing your engine all the time. You can't do that. You're going to blow a gasket if you do that. And in Western society, the gaskets that get blown is heart attack and stroke.
And kidneys and adrenals, huh?
Adrenal fatigue. Well, if you there's another part of the population whose adrenals and stress handling system are not up to the task of racing your engine all the time. So for that population group, the adrenals blow their fuse, so to speak, weaken, and then a whole different series of symptoms start to show up. Because if your stress handling system blows its fuse, then you end up with anxiety syndromes and depression and, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Different kind of approach completely. So with that kind of person, I'm trying to use sound frequencies and entrainment to bring the stress handling system back online. And with the other group, I'm trying to relax the system down. Mm-hmm. Either way, whether, you know, the sympathetic system is non-functional or whether it's hyper-functional, either one of those is bad. The idea is to be in the middle, is to be in the center. So the innovation here is to find that the nervous system at its core, it's like the biocomputer program that tells everybody what to do in your body, the automated program. When it's got a problem, everybody's got a problem. You can have any kind of symptom you can imagine if central command has got a programming error of some kind. So the innovation is to be able to use specifically tuned sound frequencies to influence the functioning of this core neurological system that tells everybody what to do. So, you know, it's kind of like a wine glass. If I want to make the wine glass resonate, then I ping the wine glass and I can hear that note, and then I can sing that note, and that's the note for the wine glass. But with a person, you can't ping a person. So I came up with a way of creating a sound sweep program that sweeps every frequency through this sound table that you're laying on. And as the sound frequency sweep starts to get within the correct range for your nervous system, then the nervous system begins to respond positively to it, and the sympathetic hypertone starts to relax down into the point where when it hits homeostasis. And when it does that, I can make a cue mark on my program, and it tells me what frequency causes homeostasis in the system. And then
now, are you putting this through both headphones and a sound table at the same time, these frequencies?
Yes, and through light glasses. So I came up with a special design for light glasses so that the sound itself is driving the lights without a separate computer chip program that's you know, running the lights based on some generic program. Right. I want the sound that's coming through your body and the sound that's coming through the headphones to match what you're seeing with the light flashes against your closed eyes. So you're seeing these patterns and colors generated by the sound that you're feeling and you're hearing. So it's another way of synchronizing up the three primary perceptual modes that the brain uses to access information. So visual,
hearing,
auditory, and kinesthetic. So three types of people is visual types and auditory types and kinesthetic types of people. So once you start to synchronize all those up to a level playing field over time, you become information processing ambidextrous. All three major modes are equal, and that begins to change a lot of things in your perception of reality and who your friends are and how you deal with things and how you solve problems. In addition, because we're using binaural beats linked mathematically to this tone that balances the nervous system, then we can use brainwave entrainment using binaural beats to cause the right-left hemispheres to synchronize. And in this case, since the binaural beats are coming through the table and the headphones and the lights, we're synchronizing the right-left visual cortex, auditory cortex, and vibration sense neurons in the brainstem.
I would think
that's another level of synchronizing. It's a grand synchronicity event in the nervous system in homeostasis.
Like bringing the horse to the water in three different ways.
you
know, they're definitely going to drink.
You can't necessarily
and also,
make a drink, but you can hold its nose and pour water down
its throat. With that system, that
you can
people
stack the deck in your favor for a positive outcome.
Can you hear me?
That's kind of more of what I've always seen with a holistic technique. Holistic techniques tend to combine different techniques together, where each technique adds more power to the one that it's added to. So you get something eventually that's bigger than the sum of the parts.
Cool. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm sorry. So it's interesting. I have a couple of questions and then a little interesting discussion I've been really interested in having with you. First of all, I would think since it's so powerful, those three modalities together, if you have somebody that's really sensitive, that is really fragile, that while you're doing the sweep, do some people can't handle it? Are there some people who can't handle it? Because that's really intense going through that sweep, I would think.
No, not necessarily. I have a lot of very fragile people that the sweep is just, you know, that's just related to how loud it is coming through the table.
You just turn it down then if it's too much?
Yeah, turn it down. But
okay, cool.
I get people who are really debilitated. And people who've been to very good practitioners and gets worse. And I think the reason is because nobody's paying attention to dosage. And so with sound, dosage is how loud and how long. So you can test for that. You can test for, you know, how loud before this becomes an overdose, before this becomes a stress, and then how long can you listen to that before it's an overload. And so, you know, I've seen people who the volume level is so low that I can barely feel it, and the time tests out to be 2 minutes. Logically, my brain thinks that couldn't possibly be doing anything, but, you know, that's all they can tolerate. So whatever their system can tolerate, you enter in your treatment at that level, it can accept that, and you begin the ball rolling.
Excellent.
And the next week, it's 4 minutes, and the next week, it's 10 minutes, and it's louder.
Cool.
And so you can see it's you've had a little narrow doorway to work with, and if you work within that doorway, you start the process rolling. If you overdose it, you've become a problem all of your own. You've become a problem. Your treatment has become a problem. So kind of dosage is everything. It's kind of it's the same idea of homeopathy. You know, you need water to survive, but you can drown. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of dosage.
Great.
I pay a lot of attention to that. Then there's another aspect of the whole treatment, because at a certain point, I want to record you singing this note, because I want your voice to be the healing tool for your body. I want I want the sound of your voice coming through the table and through the headphones and driving the lights. And so I'll record your voice singing this tone with 3D microphones, and then play your voice slowed down by precise octaves so the tone stays the same. Still does the balancing act on the nervous system. And the lower speeds of your voice singing your note now are the low frequencies coming through the table that vibrates you properly. But also it means that your rational mind can't recognize this tone anymore as your voice. But your body can recognize it, because your body designed your system in the first place based on some blueprint. You know, there's an organic and biological intelligence that knows how to grow your body out of two cells and differentiate the tissues and make them all run on automatic without you thinking about it. And that's kind of the internal physician program is in there. And you can wake that part up using pattern recognition of the unique set of harmonics and overtones in your own voice.
Uh-huh, right. You know, cool. You know, in my book, I actually talk about this hierarchy of vibration, which is frequency, timbre, which is a combination of frequencies of harmonics, musical intervals, which is a combination of harmonics and frequencies, and then music, which has the flow, and then energy. And it's interesting when in the research foundation that we set up, we're mapping out the different frequencies of different parts of the body and the musical intervals within the body between the different parts. And I think that will be more stable something more stable than the actual frequency, because some frequencies will be different from people to people, others will be the same. But the relationships, I assume, are going to be more stable. But the highest level is the musical flow within the body. And we were just talking about in the show earlier about how if you don't have good, smooth musical flow as through the nervous system, you're going to be shaky. If you don't have good, smooth flow through the circulatory system, you could have a heart attack, you know, if you don't have it through the digestive system. It's all about smooth flow everywhere. So it's like really the quality of the flow. And when you put that quality of flow in music, you can actually resonate that quality of flow into a person. So it seems, so I keep thinking that the ultimate thing is to not just have frequencies, the home note or whatever note it is that is the main frequency that puts us into balance, but also to actually create, well, first the musical interval relationship, and ultimately, if once we can figure it out, which is a little tricky, then we could have the ultimate, basically, soul song of the person.
I think that's already there. It's contained in the harmonic overtone structure of your voice. So the timbre of your voice is created by the harmonics and overtones that you see on a spectrograph of your voice singing your tone.
Yeah, but the timbre is one thing. Music involves rhythm, and when you're actually just looping the voice, you're getting a different rhythm than the actual musical flow of a song that might already be going on in the body. And often people rarely sing the song of their soul that might be. This is a funny thing. Let me put it this way. I was talking with this woman about acupuncture. And, you know, I mean, there's books, there's the bio resonance book that shows the frequency of acupuncture points. And I thought, well, that means that there's a song playing through that meridian from acupuncture point to acupuncture point when energy flows. And there, and she goes, oh, yeah, that's your soul song. And it occurred to me, oh, maybe that there is an actual song that is different per person that is flowing through each person's system that is their template of perfection.
I can buy that. I still think that's contained in the voice, because when you do a spectrogram of your voice, you see hundreds of harmonics and overtones. Many of those are exact octaves. The rest are all harmonics. And if you and you can mouse over each one and get the frequency of that, and then you could use those as the notes of a song.
Yeah, and but they aren't the notes of a song. Those are static. Those, I mean, there's a little bit of change over the voice from moment to moment. But if they're just toning, it's not like a full song. You know, although I hear what you're saying, that there is maybe that template is even in those first, you know, even if they just do it for a minute, there's still going to be that template from just the toning.
The timbre of your voice does not change. So the harmonic overtone patterns are always the same. But the relationship
changes a little bit, you know, from moment to moment based on the phasing and everything. There's tiny changes.
The timbre doesn't change. You can add something to the timbre if you change the shape of your mouth. You can bring certain of those frequencies out more than others.
If someone could, I don't think anybody
could tell. It's how a satellite in orbit can tell who's on a cell phone, because your vocal harmonics are set just like your fingerprint. They never change.
Yeah. Well, there are parameters that are changing, but there's a lot that's really stable. Yeah. So that's interesting. Would be to find that actual full musical flow through all the different or any system. Now, at another level that I wanted to get your perspective on these as well, because this has been thinking about this a lot, and I've learned so much from you, and I appreciate it, you know, as well as from what you do. Alice Bailey talks about there are five different frequency systems in our body. Now, whether this is true or not, I wanted to explore it if it were true. And because I kind of subscribe to her writings from Dijois Cool, who I call DJ Cool, by the way. She channels. And she says that your soul frequency is the same from lifetime to lifetime. And that makes sense to me because, you know, in vibration or anything that exists, if it changes its frequency, it's something different. If a cell changes its frequency, it's a different cell. So if your soul were to change frequency, you'd be a different soul. And then she says that there is a frequency or ray, and on the internet you can find what different people think are the notes of the rays, but there's a frequency for the physical body, a frequency for the mental body, for the emotional body, and the personality. The soul, she says, is the same from lifetime to lifetime, but these other frequencies are different from lifetime to lifetime. And so I started thinking about, you know, how to find each one of those. And my guess is that what you are finding very well and incredibly well is the physical body frequency. Any thoughts on this? Because I know you're out there too. I've heard the story.
Let's see. The core of the system that controls the physical body, which is this autonomic nervous system thing. When you take that frequency and you start to calculate the octaves, because every octave makes the wine glass vibrate, it's the law of octaves. So any octave of this note will cause this sympathetic-parasympathetic balance. If I whip out my calculator and I start calculating all the lower octaves of this tone, I'll have a number of low frequencies. If I keep calculating and keep going down by octaves, you know, cut the frequency in half and cut that one in half and cut that one in half, pretty soon I'll be below the range of hearing at 20 hertz, but I'll still have a string of frequencies that are popping up on my calculator as I go down and down and down. And what those will be are brainwave frequencies. Some will be beta, some will be alpha, some theta, some delta, some epsilon. And so when I combine these binaural beats to entrain brainwaves to these specific brain frequencies that are octaves of this tone that balances the nervous system, when I'm in the delta brain realm, that's where the physical body resides and gets healed and rebalanced during nighttime when you're sleeping. Delta sleep is when physical recuperation takes place, so that's the physical brain frequency. But in theta, that's where dreaming takes place, so that's emotions. Dreaming is an emotional thing. You know, you're being chased by the boogeyman, or you're having a love affair or something, and you don't even know you're in a dream. So that's when the emotions get healed for the next time, the next day. And alpha is an inner kind of peripheral vision mental state. So I think that's key brain frequencies that are derived mathematically from this fundamental tone using heart rate variability show us hardwired brain frequencies for the mental body and the emotional body and the physical body that the brain already uses to pick locks of neural programs to rebalance physical, emotional, and mental every night for the next day.
So that would mean that
you've also got epsilon frequencies and gamma frequencies and beyond that are metaphysical, cool. Metaphysical states.
So that would mean
that's kind of how I use that.
That would mean that that each of those different bodies is the exact same note, because generally every one of the brainwave states is the same note in a person, right?
Yes, it's just the same an octave, note in a person, right, but a different state of consciousness.
There's a book by Benjamin Fenn where
and you're at 5 hertz theta dreaming, but we teleport you into the middle of the day at the same brain frequency in theta. It's now a daydream. You're not asleep, you're not dreaming, but your brain is running a little movie. You know, if I ask you to think about what you had for dinner last night, you play a little movie in your head of you last night at the dinner table, and you see the food. But a little movie is playing, and part of your brain compartmentalizes, starts generating theta waves, and creates a little dream movie in your brain. Same brain state. One is awake, one is asleep, one is dreaming. But if then I take you and teleport you into the middle of a meditation session where you're sitting on a cushion with your legs crossed, and you still are in a theta brain state, now you're not dreaming and you're not daydreaming. You're having a very specific type of meditative experience that you would see with Kundalini yoga or a chakra meditation or a shamanic journey kind of experience or a Christian prayer experience where you're not aware that you're in the room, in your body. You're walking with Jesus or listening to angels or climbing a mountain and meeting a shaman who's giving you a secret so different states of consciousness might be exactly the same brain frequency, but the state of consciousness is completely transformed by the position that your physical body is in. I call it a physical mudra, a body mudra. Your body unlocks certain programs by being in a certain position.
Cool. You know, we're actually out of time here. I appreciate you being here. I didn't mention, I didn't mention at all, because I got a little flustered in the beginning, that we're having a sound healing conference September 11th to the 14th, and Dr. Jeff is one of our, my sound is weird, and Dr. Jeff is one of our main Okay.
Yeah, there's a distortion there.
Is that good?
Yeah, it sounds better.
Okay, cool. So the at the conference, Dr. Jeff is one of our keynote presenters. And so if you want to check out more with him, and also he's going to have a booth at the conference as well. And it's never boring. And he's got so much to share. And so that's September 11th to the 14th. We've got a prepaid deadline by August 15th. You can go find all the information at Globe Sound Healing Conference, globesoundhealingconference.com.
That conference has so many great people.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If anybody can make it, make it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, great talking to you.
Okay. So, again, we hold the intention of being able to hold peace no matter what happens, no matter what challenge or conflict you have. So hold that energy the rest of the weekend, if you can, or at least the rest of the day, rest of the evening, or, God, weeks ahead, months ahead, years ahead. Ooh, lifetimes. Thanks for listening.